So I'd invite you to find that, or if you prefer, you can obviously read it here on the board. Our text for today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. And ask you to strengthen your legs once more, and let's just stand as I read these three verses in your hearing, and then we'll ask God to help us as we spend a few minutes understanding these, what he's saying to us. Verse 15, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Lord, we humbly bow and ask your help because we want to understand your will. Meet us now in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Bind Satan and give us real liberty in this room, in this meeting, Lord, to hear from you. Give us real liberty to discern what you're saying to us, and Lord, apply it rightly. Apply it. Help us to apply it rightly to our lives, that we might please you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. And for another a week, then, our subject will be understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of God. What we have seen thus far is that God requires that Christians use our time wisely. So then in order to do that, Christians must understand God's will, right? If we use our time wisely, we have to understand God's will, and we've got to take advantage of these God-given opportunities. Now, God's will, you remember our basic definition is that God's will is his plan and purpose for everything he's created and for everyone that he's created. Last week, what we saw together is that there are two fundamental aspects of God's will. From Deuteronomy 29:29, God says that the secret things belong to the Lord, right? But the things revealed belong to us and our children. In order that they may be obeyed. And so we've got God's secret will and God's revealed will. Today I want to dig a little bit deeper in that. We're not going to try to exasperate you and overdo it, but I want to take this in bite sizes and dig a little bit deeper and talk about accepting God's secret will and then obeying God's revealed will, all right? So let's begin with accepting God's secret will. Now, in all honesty, when it comes to accepting God's secret will, we have to honestly admit that there are struggles, all right? The Christian has a real struggle when it comes to accepting God's secret will at times. And here's what I mean by that. Every Christian, if you're a real Christian, you a genuine Christian, I should say, you know that the Christian's life is based on faith, right? 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us that we walk or we live by faith and what? Not by sight. We know Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's also in that Hebrews 11, it says that what? It's impossible to please God, what? Without faith. And so the Christian knows that we must live by faith. But we still long for answers, right? To life's mysteries. Now we need to be real about how life is that faith, living by faith often puts us in positions where we don't have answers when we want answers. Okay.
And so that's all that I'm saying when I talk about this struggle. And so the Christian struggles with many mysteries of life. For example, we struggle with the progress of evil. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? I mean, think about it. Think about how evil governments just seem to just continue to progress. They continue to move forward. Regimes just get more wicked and more wicked. I mean, when you think about, you know, we're really blessed in America to live, whether you're totally dissatisfied or pleased with our government, compared to the rest of the world, we live in a wonderful country. But when you look at the progress of evil around the world with in governments, think of businesses that are built on evil, businesses that continue to flourish, right, because of evil. We struggle with that. Look at the entertainment industry. Think about what's going on in the entertainment industry and how they are profiting on just pure wickedness and evil. Athletes, some of the most vulgar things you know that can happen in the athletic world, in the sports world, families. Evil is just progressing in such a... The family has been totally redefined now. Think of what a family is anymore and how it continues to move forward, not just in this country, all around the world. This pervasive evil. And in the church... You see what I'm saying? The progress of evil, you look at it, and we're baffled by it. We struggle with it at times because you and I know that God can stop it, what? At any time. Right. But we continue to what? Live by faith. Yes. But we got questions, right? And not just the progress of evil. We also struggle with what we, you know, the reformers often call the suffering of saints, don't we? And that's just real. I mean, in your own life, don't you struggle? You struggle with when you look at the workers that seem to progress are those that care nothing about doing right. All around, you just pick a category. And so we struggle with the saints that seems to be get the brunt of the injustice. The saints that seem to be the one who are living in extreme poverty. Coming to Christ doesn't solve the poverty problem, okay? The saints who struggle so much with children with birth defects. We struggle with the saints that wind up with such rebellious children. Even though we know we need to live by faith, we in our own minds and hearts, this struggle still goes on. We struggle when we see wrongful death in the lives of saints. Saints that seem to die way too young. And all in on. And so that's what I mean is that we have questions when it comes down to the life of faith and secret will of God. Why? Why did this happen? Right? When is it going to stop? You know. How can this continue to go on? And so I think Paul kind of summarizes the struggle in 2 Corinthians 4, remember that? He says that we are afflicted in every way, but what? Not crushed. Right? We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. You see, that's the life of the saint. All of us have perplexing things going on in our lives, but we're never driven to despair. Why? Because God is still there. He's still there for us to express our faith. Our faith is rooted in our God. Yes? But that still means, that doesn't mean we don't have those questions. We struggle with those questions. And so the Christians may struggle, but eventually the Christian will trust. If you are a true believer, you will eventually trust the Lord. Why? Because God is worthy of a believer's trust without having worry, without fear, without doubt. You know Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. There's a verse in Hebrews 10, I believe it says, let us, what? Hold fast to our confession without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is what? Faithful. And so that's we know that God is worthy of our trust. Even though we struggle, we keep going back to Him, back to Him. He's our refuge. He's our strength. As the psalmist said, He's a very what? Present help in trouble. We keep going back to Him, because that's where we find our help. That's why He's our consolation. Even when I don't get answers, I find comfort in the Lord Himself.
Amen.
He's my place of comfort. He's a great comforter. He's a great comforter. Even when He's saying nothing, it's just a comfort to be in God's presence.
Amen.
You see? And so that's how we handle the struggle, is that we know that we trust God. The believer knows that God's ultimate plan is for His glory and our good. Now, you got to keep that. Those two work together. God is going to always be glorified, but if you are His, He's also working what? For our good, right? Romans 8:28, you know that. We know that God, what? Causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. So Jeremiah 29, I believe it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? For your good. And that you might have a hope. And so God puts this hope in front of us. Philippians 1, I'm confident that He, what? Began a good work in us, will, what? Perfect it. He will perfect it. You remember we looked at Ephesians 2 a while back. For we are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which He prepared beforehand. And so the believer knows that God's ultimate plan is for His glory and our good. And so that's why we trust Him. It's, even when I can't see how this could possibly turn out any good, I'm going to trust God anyway. I don't know when or if this is going to stop. You see, God hasn't revealed that, but I'm going to trust Him anyway, you see. The struggle is there, but I'm going to trust Him and move forward. We know that everything God does, or everything that God permits. Now listen at me. God can actively do things, or He can just permit things to happen. You remember when the devil was wanting to cause some harm to Job? You remember that? And he went up and he had this interaction with God. He says, the devil's premise was, I can't get to Job, Lord, because you're protecting him. But if you let me at him, he will curse you to your face. You remember that? Uh-huh. And so God gave him what? Permission. So my point is that God can actively be doing things, or He can simply permit things to be done. But we know that whether He's actively involved, or if He's permitting things to happen, He has a purpose, right? And His purpose fits into His ultimate redemptive plan. You and I don't ever have to doubt that. Everything is moving toward the ultimate conclusion. And God will be glorified, because at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. It's going to happen. Every tongue will confess. As a matter of fact, the Bible paints this picture that this great day is coming when Jesus is going to break through the clouds, and that regal voice is going to ring out. It says, every eye will behold Him. You believe that? Every eye will behold Him. Enemy, blasphemer, whoever, every eye will behold Him. And every knee is going to bow. Things on earth, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, right? And every tongue will confess. And so we know that all things are moving toward His ultimate redemptive plan. And here's all that I'm saying to you. You and I aren't the only saints that have struggled with God's secret will. Right? I mean, you read the Bible, Job struggled with it. That was his dilemma. His, Lord, tell me something. Why is this going on? Why so much hurt? Why so much pain? Right? He struggled with God. God wasn't telling him anything. But Job, God let the devil attack Job because he knew that he would never turn from him. You see that? Jonah struggled with the fact that God, why would you have me to go take the gospel to these wicked people? Remember that? He even decided that he wasn't going to do it. Obviously, he didn't win that battle because he's a saint. But you see, he had to struggle. You remember that? He had to struggle. And so we're not the only ones. Moses struggled. God told Moses, I want you to go. I want you to represent me before Pharaoh. What? Moses says, I can't even speak. I got all these problems. And God says, Moses, don't you think I know that? I made your mouth. You see? So he struggled, but he knew he was going to have to trust God. I mean, you just go right on the list. Sarah and Rebecca, Hannah, a struggle with bearing. Why, of all the women, why can't I have children? You see? David, I mean, you just go right on. Paul struggled with the thorn in the flesh. But eventually, what? They trusted God. So, eventually, we find out that accepting God's secret will is where we need to be. That's all I want you to see. Doesn't mean you won't struggle, but as a believer, you'll get there. And so it's better just to go on and do it rather than keep rooting around trying to figure out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Stop trying to figure it out. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't even put trust in your understanding. Just trust God when you don't have answers. Amen. So finally then, not only do we need to accept God's secret will, we need to obey God's revealed will. And the first thing I'd challenge you with there is that we need a good understanding. My point is this. God's will is too important to be misunderstood. You remember how this verse said it? Therefore, do not be foolish. You see? What's the opposite of that? But understand what the will of the Lord is, you see? So to misunderstand God's will is to what? Be foolish. It's way too important to be misunderstood. So you need a good understanding. And I want to zero in on this. Listen to my statement. Clarity and certainty in hearing from God with a good understanding is essential. Follow my words there. I struggle with trying to write that sentence, but I want you to get that. You need to have clarity when you're hearing from God. Make sure that you heard from what? From the Lord. Yeah. But you also need to have certainty that it was the Lord and not just what I wanted to do, or the Lord and not just the pastor, or the Lord and not just this person on this committee or this thing, you see? I need to have clarity and certainty that I've heard from the Lord. Why? Because I need a good understanding. It's too important for me not to have a good understanding. I want to show you a few verses and show you why I feel this is so important. Can you find, let's turn to some of these verses. Psalm 119. The first verse there is 27. Psalm 119, excuse me, and verse 27. It reads, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous work. You see that? Make me understand the way of them. Understanding is what the psalmist says here he wants. I don't just want to be smart about the word of God. I want to understand them. You go to verse 100, Psalm 119, and verse 100. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. You see that? Understanding is so essential in hearing from God. Now go to the New Testament. I got a few verses here I want you to really lay hold of. Romans 12, listen to verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, verse 2. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at this. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You see it? Your minds need to be renewed. The Word of God, the Spirit of God needs to renew your thinking so that when you hear from God, you know that you heard from God.
Amen.
See? So you can test what you heard and say that is or that is not from God. You see what it says? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Get it? That's the deal. It's too important not to get that right. And in the very chapter that we're looking at in Ephesians 5, if you go right up to verse 10, he says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You see what? Discern it. Discernment is essential. And one last group of verses there, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, 20, and 21. Now, hopefully you understand, if I didn't think this was important, I wouldn't be spending this time. I believe that we're in a day and time where you need to know that you've heard from the Lord. You need to understand His will. You got verse 19, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. You see it?
Yes.
Don't despise God speaking or people that are trying to tell you something from the Lord. But test it.
Amen.
See? What? Test what I'm saying right now. Test it. In this country, there is no excuse for you not testing what you hear. Everyone has access to the Word of God in many, multiple forms. You can test what I'm saying right now. Test everything. And what? Hold fast to what is good. Why? It's too important to miss. You need a good understanding. In our day and time, Christians are being tossed to and fro. Everybody's coming up with something that's the latest wave, the latest move, the latest thing, the move of God, or this thing and that. You need to be where you can test it and know what is from God and what is not. And what's God's will for you. Get it? A good understanding. Otherwise, you find yourself being foolish. Christians spend months and years in a foolish lifestyle, following after the latest wave of this thing and that thing, only to find out there was nothing to it. Be certain about what you read. Be certain about what you hear. And I want to tell you something else. You actually even need to be certain about what you experience. See, the devil is a deceiver. Just because you experience something doesn't mean it was from God. People want to make their experiences, I got goosebumps. What does that mean? I felt God's presence. Are you sure? You see? Do we live by feelings? See, we live by what? Faith. And faith is rooted in truth. Right? You will know the truth. And what? The truth sets you free. So, if I got the goosebumps and they were based on truth, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you can get a whole lot of goosebumps that don't have anything to do with truth. You can have many experiences that have nothing to do with God's will. You get it? So you got to test everything you hear, everything you read, everything you experience. From the scriptures, make sure that you understand what you're reading. Get a good understanding. Just because you read it in the Bible doesn't mean that you understand it. Yes? From a godly person, that's what I'm telling you. Don't just take what I say and without checking it out. Check me out. If you're talking to a person and they can't be checked out, then you need to be skeptical about that. Amen. Yes? You need to be able to test what you're hearing. Test it. And these visions that you say you had, test them out. Just because it might have been a vision, but was it from the Lord? Some supernatural experience that you had. Circumstances, whatever it is. You need to be there so that you can have no worry, no doubt, or no fear, but a good understanding. You remember, I think I've told you all before, one of my life verses, one verse that has helped me most of my life. It's the last verse in Romans 14. It's the last verse, but it's actually the last sentence in that. It's two sentences in that verse. And the sentence basically says, whatever is not from faith is what? Sin. Now you need to think about that. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So if you can't with confidence say that this thing is of faith, which means it's of God, if you got this caution light there, then don't do it. Because if you got doubts and fears and worries, you see, that's not faith. Amen. That's double-mindedness. James says you shouldn't expect anything from God if you're double-minded. Yeah. You need to know that you've heard from God. Whatever is not from faith is sin. And, the majority of this room, we've all crossed over the 40, the 50 mark. Okay? You got, Amori and a few younger people, Tamika. Y'all got to be sure. You see? You got too much at stake. Those of us who are older, well, whatever we got left, you got just too much. It's too valuable to waste it, right? Amen. The time is too valuable. So we need to be sure. You get it? That's the only reason I'm pushing this thing. You need to have a good understanding. Because what did they say? The days are what? Evil. Yeah. And you don't want to be wasting your time. You young people, why would you want to waste time? I mean, those of us who are older, we wasted so much time. Didn't we? So much time. And we don't want y'all to do that. No. Don't want you to waste time. Test, examine everything and everyone to be sure. And so you need a good understanding, and then when it comes to obeying God's will, you also need wisdom for obedience. Understanding and wisdom work together in the will of God, okay? Understanding and wisdom work together. Can you turn back to these two verses here in Proverbs? Just flip back to the Old Testament and find Proverbs 16. The first one we'll look at is Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. You see that? It's better to get wisdom than gold, and it's better to get understanding than silver, right? Understanding and wisdom are both more valuable than any commodity, any kind of wealth. Then go to Proverbs 14 and verse 33. It's a wonderful little verse. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding. You see how it's packaged together there? Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding. You see? Once you got understanding, you need wisdom to go with it. They go together. That's all I'm saying. So wisdom and understanding work together. What's your point? Even after we hear from God and we know His will, we need wisdom to obey. That's my point. You see, understanding gives you the what. This is what God wants. Wisdom gives you the how. This is how He wants it done. You see? They work together. They work together. Wisdom answers these things like when and where and how. Let's go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Just hold on just a little bit longer. We're almost there, but this is way too important to rush, okay? Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read verses 16 and 17. You there? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Look at what Paul says as he writes to these Christians at Ephesus. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Okay? So he's praying for these Christians at Ephesus, and this is what he prays for them. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of what? Wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see? He knew that this wisdom, that this church was not going to grow without wisdom from God. Regardless of how much they've been taught, regardless of how much they understood, without wisdom from God, you cannot grow. And if you see what he's saying here, he goes on to say, verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. That's the whole point. God needs to bring light and insight for you to be able to see. So you just being smart and intelligent about the scriptures is not going to open your heart and your eyes to see. You need wisdom to see with clarity what to do with what I know. You get it? I need understanding and wisdom. Go just a little bit further to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Look at this. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual what? Wisdom what? And understanding. You get it? Praying that you'll be filled with all wisdom and understanding. Why? Because that's the way you grow. And of course, most of you know James 1:5. If anyone what lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. And so that's the whole. Now, I ask you, what's the common theme in these verses that we looked at? When it comes down to wisdom, what's the common thing that we've seen over and over and over again? Hopefully you get it by now. The common theme is what? Prayer. You will not be a wise Christian if you don't pray. You will live a foolish life if you don't pray, regardless of how much you read your Bible, regardless of how much you study and meditate. If you don't pray, you will still be a foolish Christian because you won't know what to do with it. You getting it? So to understand God's will means I need wisdom. If I'm going to obey God, once I get a good understanding, then I need wisdom to what to do with it. And you can't get wisdom by coming to Bible study. Obviously, I'm not minimizing Bible study. We need Bible study to get a good understanding and interaction with God has lots of means to help us to get a good understanding. But there's only one source for wisdom. Yes? If anyone lacks wisdom, what? You've got to ask God. You can spend all the time with anyone, with elders. I hope you do spend time with elders. And hopefully you'll learn some things. But when it comes to wisdom, even with what older people tell you, when it comes to wisdom, you got to ask God what to do with what the older people told you. Amen. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You can't get around prayer. And you notice, you don't see anywhere in here where you coming to God demanding and declaring and decreeing. And you don't, No. You know, God's not, you don't deal with God like that. You're the one in need. And God certainly isn't taking any orders from us. Yes? So, if I'm going to understand God's will, I'm going to have to certainly be in a place of humility and knowing that I need help. I need help. And all of my help comes. You know that. You know that. You can't be a Christian if you don't know that. We need to live like we know that. So, let's think about how to try to pull this all together. You know, Moses knew God's will. You remember I gave you the little analogy at first? Moses was out there. He'd been out there on the desert for 40 years. He saw this burning bush. He went over there. You remember that? And God met him. You're standing on holy ground. He knew he was in God's presence. God told Moses what he wanted him to do. So he got a good understanding about what God wanted. But Moses wanted what? Wisdom. Because his question was, how am I going to do that? I'm nobody. How am I going to go, you see? How am I going to go before Pharaoh? Who am I, you see? So he wanted some wisdom. That's what I'm saying to you. You don't, just getting the what and running off doesn't mean you got it. Don't be too anxious once you've heard from God. You need to stay there until he tells you how. Give you some wisdom, yes? David, you remember that? David knew God's will. He knew that God wanted him to defeat his enemies. But if you read the life of David, before every battle, David met with God. I mean, those that he won. Why? Because he needed some wisdom. I know God wants me to fight, but I need some wisdom for what? For every battle. That's what I'm saying to you. There'll never be a point in your life when you don't need wisdom. There'll never be a point in your life when you need to ease up on praying. Even when you know, see the big picture, when you know that I'm doing what God wants me to do, I need to pray though every day. Because I need what? Wisdom for every day. You get it? Paul, and I'll leave it after this example. Paul knew that God wanted him to be a missionary, didn't he? He knew God wanted him to be a missionary. But you know what he did? He got wisdom from God for every journey. He needed wisdom for every journey. He knew, he had a good understanding about what God wanted done, but he needed wisdom for each journey that he went on. And you remember even one of the journeys, he was, he had headed out on this missionary journey to Asia. You remember that? There he was on the ship headed to Asia because I got a good understanding about what God wants and God wants me to go to Asia. Along the way, God met him in a vision. Remember that? And saw this man standing over in Macedonia, over in Europe, saying, calling for help. And God eventually gave him the wisdom to know that I don't want you to go into Asia, I want you to go into Europe. And that's how the gospel got to Europe. See? Because he was a praying man. And he listened to God. You understand?
So that's my story. Today, we are remembering the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who willingly surrendered to God's will, right?
He willingly surrendered to God's will. He clearly understood what was required of him, and he carried it out, what? With both grace and wisdom. And you and I have eternal life today because Jesus Christ obeyed the will of God. Yes? Only because he obeyed the will of God. It was Jesus Christ who said, not my will, but what? Yours be done. That's the reason we are here remembering him today, is because he obeyed the will of God. What about you? Will you give up the struggle of trying to figure out the mysteries of the difficulties in your life? Will you give up the struggle of trying to reason through the progress of evil? Give up the struggle of trying to reason through why saints are suffering here and around the globe. Give up the struggle of all of the whys and the when and how long is this going to go on? Will you stop struggling with God's secret will? And will you resolve and commit to get a good understanding about what God has already revealed? Will you make that resolve and that commitment today? Get a good understanding of what God wants from you today. And when you get it, receive it without worry. Once you understand God's will, don't worry about it. Don't have doubts about him. If it's his will, you don't need to doubt him, right? You don't need to have fears. Be fully persuaded. Be confident and full of faith. Will you make a commitment to pray and ask God to give you the wisdom to carry out his will for your life? My brother, my sister, this is the only way, in the words of Joshua, to be strong and courageous. This is the only way, you remember Jesus' words? To be wise and harmless, as wise as serpents and what? Harmless as doves. This is the only way to be weak and strong. Paul learned that in God's secret will, even though I'm weak, he says, I am strong, and I'm good with that. This is the only way that you can actually be poor and rich. You can actually love life and have good days without all of the financial wealth that you think you need. You can be financially poor and yet rich in that which is important. Yes? With a good understanding and with wisdom. This is the only way that you can be a sheep and a soldier, is to be in God's will. The only way you can be a farmer who sits and waits, and an athlete who knows how to run the race set before you. You see? How can all these things be, Brother Willie? That's God's secret will. He'll work it out. The issue is, are you willing to commit to what he's already revealed and leave the secret part of it to him? Yeah? The only way to avoid being foolish and wasting time is to live this way. So come on, my brother, my sister, graciously accept God's secret will and commit yourself to understanding and obeying his revealed will in wisdom. Commit yourself to all kinds of prayer. Paul, writing to Timothy, said that there were all kinds of prayer that he wanted him and us to pray. Right? You remember that? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving for all people, and especially prayers for wisdom and understanding for God's will. And if there's anyone here who has doubts about being a Christian, this would be a good day to settle it. Because I can tell you, you don't have to guess about that. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting or eternal life. And so if you have any doubts about that being God's will, won't you settle it today? Come to Christ and he will save you right here, right now.
Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together in your presence and working through the great privilege of living a wise life, working through the challenge of avoiding a foolish life, working through the great blessing of understanding your will, the great blessing of having wisdom to do your will, obeying you willingly and openly without worry or doubt or fear. And so, Lord, would you meet us now as we bow together in a few minutes of meditation. Help us to settle any of these things in our own heart and to commit today to move forward with great clarity with regard to your will, great certainty. Help us to remove the excuses and the procrastination, to trust in you with all our hearts and not lean to our understanding. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.